Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear your testimony and how God is using Destiny in your life. You can visit our website, destinychurchjacksonville.com, and click on the testimony link. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can do so online. Now, get ready to receive a word from God.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, team. You guys are awesome. Can we let our worship team know how much we love and appreciate them? And our sound team and media team, which never gets any love. I only get attention when things go wrong, so we're giving you the attention today, baby. Thank you, guys. You guys make us sound good. Can I just say that it is a joy, it's an honor, and it's a delight to get to teach God's word each and every week. And I'll tell you why. Because I know that God's word has the power to change lives. And I know that because it's changed my life. It has the power to break bondage. It has the power to break chains. And so it's for that reason that I am so honored, delighted to get to teach God's word to you. I pray that you'll position yourselves, your hearts, in such a way as to receive all that God has for you this morning. As Pastor Daniel just mentioned, we've been on a series called Seasons. And we've been talking about how that God has designated, he has assigned certain seasons, ordained, if you will, certain seasons in our life in order that we would become the people that he wants us to be. See, I think there's this common misconception amongst a lot of believers that think that if they just pray the salvation prayer, then all of a sudden they're just going to be transformed into who God wants them to be. Now, don't get me wrong. At the moment that we call upon Jesus as Lord and we call out with a repentant heart, he does forgive us in that moment. But becoming the people that God has destined for us to be is a lifelong process. And this process isn't an easy, comfortable process. Understatement of the year, right? Because oftentimes it is painful and hard. Now, some of you may ask, well, why is it hard and painful? Well, I'm not sure that I have an answer that's going to fully satisfy you, but I can say that God is consistent in carrying out his plans in all of our lives. And if you don't believe it, let me just give you an example. How many of you are here this morning and you would say that you have never had to walk through anything difficult? I'm talking all the way from the youngest of you to the oldest of you. You have absolutely never had to walk through anything difficult in your life. Would you just slip your hand up just for a second? I'm not going to ask you to come up or speak, but just anyone at all? No, really, not one single person. Obviously, I knew not one hand was going to go up there, right? You see, because watch this. We all face, now to varying degrees, admittedly, right? But we all face to varying degrees times and seasons of difficulty. And again, we may never fully understand why God has purposed that we go through times of difficulty, but he is certainly consistent in allowing them in all of our lives. As a matter of fact, I tried, and I could not think of one single man or woman of God in the scripture that didn't face difficulty. But through their difficulty, we get to see the purpose of God in it. As a matter of fact, that's a good side note right there in just saying this is one of the many reasons that we need to know our Bible. Because God has given us the benefit of reading about the lives of those who have went before us, who have faced seasons of difficulty, and how that through their difficulty, God brought about something good in the end. See, that gives me hope for whenever I find myself in seasons of difficulty, to know that it's not the end. I'm talking about having the faith to believe that God works through what I may see as an impossible situation. Why? Because he's done it for others. So that means that he can do it for me too. As a matter of fact, I believe that he will, because God is no respecter of persons, as Peter says in Acts chapter 10, right? But what really stands out to me is we're talking about the consistency of God allowing times of difficulty in our lives, or seasons of difficulty in our lives, is that even Jesus faced difficulty. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and say that the difficulty that he faced, there's none of us in this room that could even quite relate. Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. I think this falls in line with what we talked about a couple weeks ago when we said that God always has things that he wants us to learn through difficult seasons of our life. And so that it's critical then that we ask, God, what do you want to show me in this season? Because remember, God doesn't do anything by accident. Just because we don't understand the purpose doesn't mean that God isn't fully aware and intentional about what he wants to do in our life. We've but to trust him. And just as he came through for every single person that we read about in Scripture, God is consistent in this as well, that he'll come through for you. And when he comes through, it'll be for your good and it'll be for his glory. Amen? Job models for us the mindset that we're to have when facing moments of difficulty. And I think that Job had a little bit of a street cred in making this statement because he was walking through some of the most difficult of seasons that you could possibly imagine, right? And right in the midst of it, Job says this. He says, but he, talking about God, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. You see, if you'll trust God in whatever season you're in right now, you'll come out better than when you entered it. Not the same, but better. Now, let me bring you back to our key verse for this series, and then we're going to get into the meat of what God has put on my heart to share with you today. But our series verse is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Which says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some of the seasons that we go through in life. And I want us to give thought and consideration as to what God might be doing in that season. If you're taking notes, you can title today's message, The Waiting and the Wilderness. And what I hope to do is to differentiate between the two while at the same time highlight some of their similarities. Because a lot of people believe that they're in the wilderness, but they're actually just in the waiting. While others think that they're in the waiting, but in reality, they're in the wilderness. So let me just start by highlighting two of the main differences between those seasons. Both of these seasons have a length of time, right? As does any season. But when you're in a season of waiting, the timing is most often determined by God. In other words, there's a set time that's required in order for God to do all that he wants to do in your life. But in the wilderness, the timing is most often determined by you. What I mean by that is God may only intend for a season to be a certain length of time, but how we respond can cause it to turn into longer than God intended. Come on, that's the classic case right there of the children of Israel who turned a 10-day trip into a 40-year season, right? And so I think it's important that when we try and discern what season we're in, that we don't mistake the waiting from the wilderness, and vice versa. Because if we're in the wilderness, but we think we're waiting on God, the reality could be that God is waiting on you. But if you're in the waiting, and you believe that you're in the wilderness, then you might be tempted to think if you could just get it right, or if you could just do the right things, then maybe that season might pass. But it won't. Because it's not about what you did or didn't do. Are y'all following me this morning? So the main two things that I want you to see here and the differences about these seasons, they have to do with timing and they have to do with the condition of the heart. Now I'm going to share with you what I believe that God wants to do in our lives, regardless of which of the two seasons that you're in. And I'm going to keep it simple this morning by just giving you three words. And the first word is release. Now, I know that that didn't excite you a whole lot just by sharing that word with you. So let me give you the definition of it. Maybe it'll excite you. The word release means to relieve from something that confines, that burdens, or oppresses. It means to give up in favor of another. And then my favorite definition, the state of being freed. And I believe that while in every season of life, no matter the season, I believe God wants to bring more freedom. But oftentimes, that freedom is determined by what we release. Because we can't have the best of what the world has to offer and the best of what God has to offer at the same time. As 1 John chapter 2 says, you can't love the things of the world and the things of God. Or should I say, you can't have the things of the world and also have the things of God. You have to release one in order to take hold of the other. You see, the children of Israel, they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they were unwilling to release their doubts, their fears, their past. They couldn't see the thing that God wanted to do for them, and so they held on to the way that things used to be. How many of you know that that right there is a perfect description of many church folk today? Come on now. They can't see the thing that God is doing in this hour. And so much like the children of Israel, they hold on to what used to be, which in turn prevents them from experiencing what God is doing here and now. If that's you, can I just say, I've got a word for you. It's found in Isaiah 43 and verse 19. And God says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It goes on to say, I will make a way in the wilderness. Which, by the way, that's a great portion of that verse that often gets overlooked because we see the first part of it. That's worth underlining in your Bible. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, God is faithful to make a way even in our wanderings in the wilderness. Come on, right there is the good news of the gospel, church, that even in the midst of our rebellion, that God will still meet us and lead us out captive. Someone needs a shout amen to that. Thank God that Jesus meets us right where we are, amen? But I think that a lot of times Christians see what God's asking us to release as is somehow being confining or like he's holding back on us. Like somehow God's wanting to take the fun out of life, right? But friends, anytime that you believe that God is wanting to take something from you and not return it with something better, then you've believed a lie. Because God says that my plans for you, they are for good, not for evil. Remember what the scripture says, no good thing would God withhold from those who love him, right? If God is asking you to release something, you could take it to the bank that it's for your good. You say, but Pastor, I can't see how that's for my good. That's okay, it's not your job to see. We walk by faith, not by sight. I've got to trust that God is God and that he knows what I don't. Because church, when we live with the mindset that seeing is believing, that's living like the world. Listen, seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Amen? Yes. And I'm convinced that many Christians are still in the wilderness season of their life because they've yet to release some things that God has told them to let go of. Let me take you to a place in scripture that I think that will hopefully illustrate the point that I'm trying to make. It's found in the book of Exodus, chapter 4. I'm going to read you verses 2 and 3, where God says to Moses, he says, Moses, what's that in your hand? Moses replied, a staff. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. I read a scripture years ago to someone, and they came to me, and they said, Pastor, how come he ran from the snake? Well, you know what? You throw a staff down on the ground, let it turn into a snake, and I promise you, you're going to run from it too. Some of the questions you get as a pastor, but I'd like to take a little bit of liberty here on the scripture, if you'll allow me, because I do believe that there's some principles that God is wanting to teach here, in that what we hold on to can prevent a miracle from happening in our life. And just to give a little context to the story, because I'm not sure that we fully aware what it was that God was asking when he asked Moses to throw down his staff. I mean, Moses' staff was something that was very important to him. And I'm sure that there's a lot of questions that probably went through Moses' mind when God asked him, like, okay, if I throw this down, does that mean that I'm done with it forever? Like, am I ever going to be able to pick this back up again? Now, before you think, Chris, what's a big deal? It's just a staff. Well, not to Moses. I mean, you got to think about this for a moment. What was Moses' occupation at this time? He was a shepherd, right? And so for Moses, his staff, it represented several things. Like one, it represented his financial security. And he worked for his father-in-law, Jethro. So I guess that you could even say that maybe in some form, it represented emotional security. And his staff was the thing that he would use to fight off things that would attack both himself and his sheep. So you could also say that it represented his physical security. So for God to ask him to throw down his staff, it was a big deal. And he didn't know, oh man, I hope someone catches this, why it is that God asked him to release it and to put it down. Just like many of you. There's some of you, there's some things that you've been holding on to that God may be asking you to release. And you have to just get before the Lord to find out what that is. But I will say a few things that I'm pretty certain in a crowd like this that he would be asking. And one would be some toxic relationships. Especially for to those of you that are dating and you're in a relationship that's pulling you further away from God, you need to cut the cord on that thing. God's not asked you to be unequally yoked. If that person is not drawing you closer to God, cut the tie. God will bring someone better. Amen. All married people say amen to that. But this also goes for the married folks as well, because there's some of you that are here that you've got some friendships that are toxic. Listen, I'm just telling you, I'm at a point in my life. Now, we're not talking about the lost. We're not talking about reaching those that don't know Jesus. That's a different story. Are y'all with me? I'm talking about the people that I fellowship with, the people that are supposed to encourage me. I'm at a place in my life where I'm not going to allow toxicity. Am I saying that word right? Help me out, teachers. I'm not allowing it in my life. Bad grammar, good theology, right? I mean, I'm not allowing it in my life. So there's some people I'm saying no to, and I don't care what people think, because you know what? The call of God is on your life. It's on my life. His plans and purposes are far too great for us to worry about hurting someone's feelings just because we ain't taking them out to lunch 3 times a week. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? What's in your hand, Moses? What's in your hand, church? We got to ask God, God, what is it that I'm holding on to that I need to let go of? Hey, relationships is just one. You know, addiction can be another thing that's been holding you back. And by the way, addictions come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, like, addictions can be substances. I mean, that's kind of the obvious ones, right? But do you know that addictions can also come in the form of technology? God showed me something this week, and I find it so interesting that the same word that I used to use for drinking when I was back in the world, binge drinking, that we now use for technology, binge watching. Now, before you go and choose to start using that word, or if you're already using it, you might want to reconsider, because words have power. And words have meaning. And the word binge means, are you ready for this? No condemnation, by the way. I know some of you have hashtagged this. That's all good. We don't know what we don't know, but when we know, then we're accountable for what we know, all right? So binge means an unrestrained and often excessive indulgence, compulsive consumption I know this may cut for some of you, but I'm just trying to tell you what could be possibly the source of some of your extended season in the wilderness. Friends, it's time for us to do some releasing and then watch the miraculous power of God work in our life. Amen? Let me share with you one more example of releasing that we'll all likely have to face at some point or another in our lives. In life, there will be those that will use you, abuse you, disappoint you, and even betray you. I'm talking about those who will take advantage of you, and it will affect you emotionally, spiritually, financially, and relationally. And we need to release what has been done to us, or else we will carry that forward with us. Allow me to use this illustration here, if you will. Daniel, come help me for a moment. See, throughout our life, there will be those who will go and lie to you. There will be those who will gossip about you. And by the way, can I just say that gossip isn't just saying something that's untrue. But gossip can also be saying something that's true, but you're saying it in such a way as to hurt and affect someone. There'll be some who'll walk out on you, who'll steal from you, and who'll slander you. And there's real hurt, there's real pain that comes as a result of these things happening. And you see, we've got to learn how to release these things to God, because all of the hurt, all of the pain in the past is like these bricks that were just added to my pack. And this is heavy, by the way. Just saying, Daniel. And everywhere we go, we carry these things with us into the future unless we learn how to release it. And the older we get and the more things that we face in life, the heavier the load gets. Can I share with you a little conversation that I had with someone the other day? Someone asked me, they said, is it easier pastoring adults or teenagers? I laughed when they told me, you may think you know the answer, but I'm going to promise you that it's way harder pastoring adults. Promise you it is. Because so many of us have allowed life to weigh us down and cause us to be so cynical. We're carrying around such heavy loads. But church, watch this. Here's what Jesus wants to do. You see, that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to take the burden off of us. If we will surrender, it'll full release it to him. Amen? Can y'all give Daniel a hand for being a good Jesus there? Now, burdens are just one of the many things that we need to release to God. There's a lot of things that we can release to him. But there's another thing I want to hit this morning. And man, I know this is going to speak to some hearts. God put this so heavy on my heart. Some of you need to learn to release your dreams to him. Now, this doesn't mean that you give up on your dreams, but you release them to God. And releasing them means that we entrust them to his care and in his timing. So here's the thing about the waiting. We have to allow the proper time to pass by in order for something to be born healthy. I guess you could say it this way. That every dream, every desire has a gestation period. It has a process that it has to go through. Right. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 12, verse 24. He said, truly, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I love the analogy that Jesus gives us here because there's so much that we can learn from it in our season of waiting. You see, when you release a seed, the first thing that it does is that it goes into the ground. where it becomes hidden. And see, some of you are here and you feel like no one's noticed you. You feel like that you've been passed over. But the reality is that God has you covered. Yes. You're in the best possible place that you could be. You are resting in your prescribed soil. Here's where I wish that I could tell you that you would emerge as a beautiful butterfly does his cocoon. But there's one more step before that. See, a seed is first hidden. It's covered. But then it has to be crushed in order for the life that it was meant to produce to come forth. I know it doesn't sound encouraging to hear that it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it will get better. And the gifts, the callings of God, will one day break through the soil and carry out their intended purpose. But we've got to allow God to do what's necessary in our lives in that time of waiting. The second word that I want to share with you is the word renew. And I think that the best verse that I could give you to correspond with the second word is found in Isaiah 40, verse 31, where it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The language that the prophet Isaiah uses here is one of endurance, of one who doesn't give up, but he finishes the race. Hebrews 10, verse 36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." And this is God's desire for each and every one of us, that we finish well, that we receive what God has promised, and that we don't give up or grow weary. Yet I see Christians all the time that just look tired. I found these two pictures here of some marathon runners. And can I just say, when I looked at them, I thought, this right here is how most Christians usually look, right? But God wants us to look more like that right there. Are you hearing me? Listen, I'm not talking about fake it till you make it, and I'm not talking about putting a smile on your face whenever you have real hurting. I'm just talking about us not being weary. You say, "That's great, Pastor, but how do I get there?" Well, that's what the waiting is all about. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You see, sometimes the waiting looks like rest. Because that's what you need. That's a word for somebody. Now, does that mean waiting is just passively sitting on the sidelines doing nothing? No. As a matter of fact, the word wait in the original Hebrew, it means to eagerly look for. You need to look for what God wants to do in your life as you wait. Another definition of wait means to gather together. See, I'm convinced that there are times that God calls us to wait before he brings about something in our life because we've got to first gather together something that's been apart or that's been separated. As a matter of fact, I think that's a good word right there for our families, that we need to be more concerned about the condition of our household before we even think about taking a step toward that thing that we feel like God is calling us to do. Say amen or oh me, that's for someone. Now, before I get too far removed from my two marathon runners in the picture, let me just say this, is that if you happen to be here today and you're in the condition of the guy on the left, I want to remind you of what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, all those that's got that heaviness on their back." And he says, "And I will give you rest." He gives us sorrow for joy. He comforts all who mourns. He gives us beauty for ashes. Come on, can we thank God that he does? So renewal is about gathering together. It's about strengthening, but it's also about perspective. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Matter of fact, can I just throw this in here as a side note? If you're not intentionally going against the pattern of the world, you are being conformed to it. I mean, like by default. Like you've got to be intentional in this church. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, I can't step into what God has called me to if I have the wrong perspective. Now, don't get me wrong, people do it all the time, but what happens as a result is hurt, burnout, and a trail of bad decision making. That's not to say that we won't ever make mistakes in life, but you know what? I'd like to minimize as many of those as I possibly could. Hello? Right. And oftentimes, minimizing our mistakes means having the right perspective. It's setting in place biblical priorities and building habits that reinforce those priorities. Let me share another thought with you, especially if you're in a season of waiting. Psalm 51 and verse 10 is a good prayer to pray, which says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. One translation says, renew a right attitude within me. I like that translation because our attitude determines our altitude. How high and how far we go is contingent upon the condition of our heart. That's why King Solomon says to guard your heart above all else, for everything that we do flows from it. Pastor, are you saying that I have a bad heart? No, I'm just saying that there are areas in all of our lives that need work. And even in the areas that right now may be good, they're susceptible to an enemy whose sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, why this right here is why this message is just as applicable to the person that is new in their faith versus the person who is old in their faith. This word is for all of us. The second word, renew, it's a process that we will go through many, many times throughout our life. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, and the older I get, the more aware of that I am. But the good news says, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Can I say that day by day is day by day until Jesus returns, until we breathe our last breath? Yeah. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have to constantly keep our heart in check and evaluate our priorities and our behaviors. And I'm sharing these things with you as your pastor because I want you to finish your race. Hey, look, that's great that you're running well right now, but you know what? I want you to be running well in 20 and 40 years from now. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Right. And that only happens by intentionality. Emotion can't carry you to the finish line. And so we need to release. We need to renew. And now our third and our final word, we need to remember. The book of Psalms, verse 119 and verse 55, David says, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. I thought about this scripture a lot this week, and I love dissecting the Word of God. It's so much fun. There's so many nuggets there, and I thought it was interesting that David says, I remember your name in the night. Like, I was wondering, like, why did you say that? And then it hit me. And I think it hit me whenever I was on my way to the bathroom in the middle of the night and I hit my toe against some Christmas decorations that were there that I didn't know that was there. How many of you can relate to that pain or the side of the bed, right? See, because it's in the night that we can't see. It's in the night that we're vulnerable. Come on, I don't think it's a coincidence that most crimes are committed in the night. And so David says, Lord, I remember your name. By the way, for those of you that don't know, to know the name of God means to know the character of God and to know the promises of God, because his name reveals his character and it reveals his promises. David said, Lord, I remember your name, your promises, your glorious deeds. I remember them in the nighttime, in the moments when I can't see you, in the moments when I don't sense your nearness. I remind myself and I remember who you are. Church, here's a great point to write down. Don't question in the dark what God has shown you in the light. The darkness doesn't change who God is, but darkness will try and change who you are. And it will try and change you by getting you to look at the things that your eyes can see. But our eyes are to be fixed on the things that are unseen, the things that God has spoken. What's that look like in our lives? I mean, what do we do when we aren't hearing God's voice and we don't sense his nearness? Well, you go back to where you remember last being with him. And you go back to what he's already spoken. Let me illustrate it to you this way, if I could. When my family and I go on a trip, like let's say Disney World, I always tell my girls, if we happen to get split up in a crowd and you find yourself lost, go back to the last place where we were together. Go back to the last place where you heard my voice and I said something to you. Now, I think that that's not only good advice for whenever we go to theme parks, but I think that's good advice in our relationship with God as well. That if you find yourself at a place where you don't sense God's nearness and you don't feel like you're hearing his voice, then go back to the place where you did. I think it's also important to note that God's silence is in no way indicative of his activity or involvement in our lives. He may be silent, but he is not still. He is at work in our lives in far more intricate ways than we could ever possibly imagine. But I think that it's only fair to mention that when we talk about the wilderness, that not every single time we find ourselves in the wilderness is to do to something that we've done. I mean, the children of Israel, they had to travel through the wilderness. It's just that God's intent wasn't for them to set up camp there. But they did have to go through it to get to where they're going. I'm going to say that one more time. I said they did have to go through it to get to where they were going. See, people often find themselves in situations that they didn't ask for or that they deserved. As a matter of fact, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the blind man of whom Jesus said, this man didn't sin, nor did his parents sin, that he ended up in this condition. In other words, it wasn't anything that he had done that caused him to end up in that situation. And I think that there are many of you here that you can relate, right? Like, you've been in circumstances, you've been in situations where you found yourself in and you're like, what did I do to deserve this? Pet Shop Boys could relate there, right? If you didn't get that reference, then that means you don't have good taste in music. But regardless of however, we got no love for the Pet Shop Boys in 2019. But regardless of how we got in the wilderness, watch this. We've got to fix our eyes on the only one who can get us out. Jesus, Master and Commander, the Captain of the Lord of Hosts. And I know that some of you are wondering, how much longer, Lord? Interestingly enough, do you know that that is the most asked question in the entire Bible? Yeah. From Genesis to Revelation, the most the most asked question in the whole Bible is, how long, O Lord? How long? And watch this. The most repeated response from God is, do not fear, do not be afraid. You see, the people of God consistently cry out for relief. And the God of love bids us to trust him. Church, I want to wrap up today's message with a statement that I felt that God put in my heart to instill some hope in some of you who you may feel like maybe your time has passed, or that that thing that you've been believing for isn't ever going to happen. Here's what the Lord told me to tell you. Delayed doesn't mean denied. Just because something hasn't come about yet doesn't mean that it won't. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And so if it hasn't happened yet, he's still working. I said he's still working, and faithful is he who began a good work in you to complete it. Come on, do you believe it this morning? If you believe it, I want you to stand to your feet, and let's just thank God for his faithfulness in this place. We bless the name of the Lord our God. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, we believe that, God, in every season of our life, that Jesus, you are working it for our good. And let me just say this, and then I'm going to pray, and the team's going to lead us.